We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is up, everybody? Welcome inside the Guilty as Charged podcast. My name is Steven, and I am your host, as always. And joining us for the first time in a few months for the back on the pod for our 2.0 mock draft is Alex. Alex, what's up, man? How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. Some people, like, in the comments on this channel just thought I was, like, dead for the longest time, but I was still uploading a video every week, so... You know, the James Bradbury penalty was pretty tragic, but I didn't, like, die. So, you know.
Yeah, I fully recovered from the Super Bowl. So I think we're good on that end. And happy to have him back here. Everybody make sure you pencil in the running back that Alex takes on day three.
There's a good one planned today.
For those who have been around for a long time, obviously you know the love for Khalil Herbert 2 years ago and Isaiah Pacheco last year. So it's become kind of a running joke, but in all seriousness, you know, Alex has been hitting on those kind of picks. So excited to see where that one goes today. Tyler's here as well, man. Tyler, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm in a Chargers Christmas pajama set because it's like the season of giving in draft week, I guess. So that'll be my mock draft theme. And I can't wait to see who this running back is. I don't know where they are, what JUCO they're from or whatever, but I can't wait to see who Alex picks.
Yeah, right before we hopped on, we got news that the Chargers are meeting with a University of Alabama Birmingham corner. So there you go. There's your random pick if you guys want one later on. So in all seriousness, it's going to be a fun episode today. We're going to do our post-free agency mock draft. Obviously, full steam ahead towards draft at this point in time. So I'm going to have some fun discussions here about, you know, the positions of need for the Chargers. And also at the same time, we're going to kind of format this and what we think kind of a draft room is like. So one of us is going to be able to decide the pick, and then the other two, before that person picks, are going to kind of pitch their prospect of choice in this regard. So, you know, for example, Tyler does have the first pick. He has the power, and then we're going to kind of snake through it. So Alex and I in the first pick are going to kind of pitch the prospect that we would choose if it were us, and then Tyler's going to, you know, make the decision. Tyler's the owner for the first pick. Alex is the owner for the second pick, and I'm the owner for the third pick, and then we'll snake it from there on. So, going to be a fun one, and, you know, can't wait to see how it turns out. Alex, before we get started there, your general thought process here, as, you know, because we haven't really talked much, you know, on the show, obviously. how do you think free agency has kind of changed the draft from your standpoint?
I don't think it's changed it a ton. Maybe a little bit more of a premiere on getting a running back with the Austin Ekeler stuff, potentially on even day two of the draft or day one if certain events, you know, unfold. Linebacker is kind of an interesting one because Eric Kendricks is sort of here on effectively a one-year deal, right? The Chargers sort of really since Kenneth Murray, I mean, other than the Nick Neiman pick, haven't invested a ton in the linebacker position. So I'd be curious to see if they would go maybe a little bit higher than we would expect for somebody at linebacker, after letting Drew Tranquil walk. And then of course there's still the two holes at wide receiver. You know, they could re-sign Jalen Guyton at some point. Maybe they revisit that after the draft. But they have three guys in their wide receiver room right now. So definitely more depth, needed there.
Yeah, and obviously your guy DeAndre Carter visiting with the Raiders this week, so we'll see what happens.
Terrible.
Yeah,
he has not signed there, but you know, he's pretty much the only like veteran return specialist on the market at this point. So that market did dry up pretty quickly here in terms of like the ones that would be clear upgrades over DeAndre Carter. At least, you know, obviously there are some lower tier return specialists out there remaining. So we'll see how that one goes. But the Chargers obviously do, you know, have some needs to fill in this draft. So we'll get started here. So we are going to use the mock draft database this time around for this particular mock. I know Alex Katzen and I use PFF on our trade up video that we did this week. So we'll kind of mix it up here back and forth between those two ones as we kind of go through the process here. So like I said, if you're just joining us, Tyler is going to be the owner of the first pick, and then Alex and I are going to kind of pitch our choices there, and then we'll kind of run through it that way. So Tyler, why don't you hit start? We'll see how this one goes. If this turns out to be a crazy simulation, we'll kind of restart it at some point. So we'll figure out what kind of simulation we're dealing with once we get there. So you can go ahead and start that.
Here we go. So we're not doing trades.
Yeah, no trades today as well. You know, Don Telesco doesn't trade back. So until it happens, we're not going to make that prediction. So Tyler, why don't you run through really quickly which players are off the board at this point?
Okay, so notable players off the board: Quentin Johnson from TCU, Michael Mayer went to the Lions, Lucas Van Ness is gone, Nolan Smith just went to the Seattle Seahawks. Out of curiosity, who'd they take earlier? Jalen Carter. Yeah, that's going to be one heck of a defensive line for them. So yeah, a couple of guys I didn't expect to still be on here. Sometimes when you do these simulations, different guys go, different guys stay, but the corners are gone. I know that Steve was talking about corners, so no surprise. Porter's gone, Witherspoon's gone, Gonzalez is gone. I don't think that means that Banks is gone. Smith is gone from South Carolina. Yeah, most of those guys are all, I mean, they are gone. They're all gone.
All right, and then let's scroll down here a little bit and see who's available. So Bijan Robinson, I know that's going to be a popular one. We'll see if that's Alex's pitch or not. Running back from Texas, Brian Branch. Brian Brzee, so both Brians, and then Kalijah Kancey, Dalton Kincaid, Deontay Banks, Zay Flowers. So kind of the usual suspects in terms of players that are on the board. Jalen Hyatt's stock has really kind of fallen quite a bit, you know, but those are kind of the notable ones here. So Alex, I'll let you kick it off here. Who's your prospect of choice to pitch to Tyler in this instance?
I'm going to speak, I think, for a large portion of the Chargers fan base and say Bijan Robinson. I think that he is the best running back to come out of the draft since Ezekiel Elliott. And he's not just another running back. I sort of think you go through the last couple first round picks at running back. You have Najee Harris a couple years ago and Travis Etienne back to back. Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the very back of the first round. Trying to think of just some other ones. Last year you had Breece Hall, who gets picked in the second. But we really haven't had this like dominant of a running back come through after everything he's done, really since either Saquon or Zeke. And I heard you guys talking in the last podcast about, you know, if the Chargers trade Ekeler and say they draft like Bijan in that scenario, is Bijan a guy that can really like replace Eckler's production, you know, in year one? I think this guy steps into the league and is the best running back on day one. And I know that this is like a bold thing to say, but he's just got all the tools that you would want in a running back: downhill speed. I mean, I don't think that he's actually all that similar to like Saquon from like a body or like control standpoint, but he is kind of like Reggie Bush, like a little bit coming out of the draft. There is sort of like just this thing with him where if he's drafted 5 or 10 years ago, I don't think we're having a conversation about him at 21, are we? I mean, no, we're having a conversation about him as a top five, top 10 pick. Now, if you do take Bijan Robinson, that probably takes my running back in round 5 out of play, which is really a concern here. So maybe you shouldn't. But speaking objectively, I think you look at some of the other guys on the board. I love Dalton Kincaid, who's still on the board here. He would be my tight end one of this draft. And to me, he's the best receiving tight end. So if the Chargers like want to go in that direction, wouldn't hate it if they took him over Bijan. And so if they want to go there, I'm fine with it. There's still a couple players on the board. I know Tyler likes Zay Flowers a lot. Not feeling Zay Flowers personally in the first round, but, you know, I get why, you know, Brett Coleman and like some of the other draft analysts feel the way that they do about him. Was it Daniel Jeremiah who wrote the mock about Zay Flowers this week?
Yeah.
Yeah, to the Chargers. I would probably rather trade down and see if you could get Zay Flowers than take him in round one as sort of that like 5'9 receiver. But man, Bijan in this running back room, this is the only chance I think where the Chargers are really going to have to take a luxury pick in the next couple of years of the draft, where next year you might have to replace one of Khalil Mack or Joey Bosa. Next year you might have to replace one of Keenan Allen or Khalil Mack, as Tyler kind of laid out in his like, the, you know, the restructures and the fact that the Chargers probably are going to have to get rid of two of the four based on their salary cap situation next year. And so this is probably your last year of making some kind of splash pick, whether that's a Bijan Robinson or a Brian Branch or even a Dalton Kincaid. And so to me, it's best player available. I would go with Bijan Robinson.
No, yeah, I totally understand that. Tyler and I have talked a lot about Bijan Robinson. To me, Bijan's he has the highest grade in this class. For me at this point, and you know, I think you were talking about a blue chip player, so you know, it depends really how you feel about, you know, the chances of Austin Ekeler returning. I think in this instance it depends on how much value Austin still has to your team going forward, and also obviously if Bijan Robinson is even on the board at this point. So you know, Arjun's kind of talked about, you know, at what position are you able to truly find a starter. Maybe running back is that choice, right? Because depending on what Austin Eckler's future is. So Bijan, if he's there, I'm fully on board with. This board is pretty interesting to me. I just recency bias in me wants to talk about Deontay Banks, because Deontay Banks, I think, is a truly top tier player in this class. I think Deontay Banks is in this cornerback class is stacked with guys. I think Brian Branch is also, you know, a top tier player for me in this class. So from a grade perspective, I would lean towards Deontay Banks. I think Deontay Banks is probably the second best player in this class. The fit is not super clean. So to me, I know everybody would kind of hate it, but to me, like, Brian Branch is kind of a no brainer in this instance. And I think, you know, he's one of the few players on this board that will be a starter from day one. Tyler and I have kind of messaged back and forth about this, but Brian Branch could start as a safety in base packages for me right now, and then move down to the nickel spot in nickel packages and dime packages. And he's an elite run defender, right? Like, I've talked about this. He's got the highest run stop percentage of any defensive back in this class. His missed tackle rate over the course of his career is very high end. He never missed tackles. So I understand he didn't test like an elite athlete. I totally get it. But to me, I think you watch his film and his football speed and his football athleticism, you know, don't lie. Like, this man was consistently making impact tackles in the run game in the SEC. You know, as a blitzer, he's fantastic. You know, he's not afraid to take running backs, tight ends head up and will blow them up. So for me, like, I've kind of switched gears here a little bit. And in this instance where there's not really any of the pass rushers available, I would take Brian Branch because he's the only true starter right now that we know of. And I think for me, like, that's where I would go with the Chargers pick, because, you know, I know what kind of value I'm getting from him from day one. I know I'm getting an instant impact player on day one. and he's a safe player. So this is kind of Zion-esque, where there's not a ton of risk here. Maybe there's not like elite upside because he's kind of a slot safety hybrid. But I do think it's worth the pick. And I'm pretty positive that Derek Anzey recruited him out of high school. So I think there's at least some relationship there as well. So Brian Branch is pretty a clean fit for me. And that's where I would go right now.
Yeah, Branch, I think he missed Ansley in terms of being at Alabama by a couple of years. But you talk about recruitment, and that is certainly possible there.
Sure.
So we'll see how much of the connection there is or if there isn't. It really does come down to these two players for me. If there was an edge player that I loved, like a Nolan Smith available, who went to Seattle right before this, then I think I would override both of you guys and take that edge player. And I think maybe one of you guys would have, you know, pitched that.
Yeah, I would have argued for Nolan Smith if you were on the board for sure.
Yeah, and because that's just kind of where I'd love to go in the first round, is find a premium spot. But, you know, I think we all feel that receiver can be had in round two, round three. I think for the most part, the Chargers on offense wanted to maintain, I hate to say status quo, but like maintain as much continuity as possible. Donald Parham is back. Trey Pipkins is back. The three receivers are still there, and it sounds like that is your starting trio. But the real monkey wrench got thrown in with things with Austin Ekeler requesting that trade. And I'm sure they'd love to have him be the RB1 and prepare for his eventual departure with someone like Spiller coming up. But things are now definitely accelerated, where maybe you could have extended him for a little bit, but he wants a lot more. So things definitely get dicey. As far as grades go, Bijan Robinson is my highest graded player available. Then I do believe it would be Brian Branch, then Dalton Kincaid is how I have it in terms of grade and in terms of the ranking I have for them. I haven't graded the corners yet, so I apologize if someone loves Banks a lot more. I don't know. But to me, in terms of grade and best player available, which is where the Chargers like to go, or excuse me, where I like to go as the owner of this football team, Bijan Robinson, Brian Branch, and Dalton Kincaid are really the three in consideration here. And it's tough because of that recency bias of just watching him. But I do feel that at some point I do need to commit to a player who, A, the grade fits anyway, and B, I do feel I can get the most snaps and be quality snaps, if you will. And I actually do think that for me personally, that is Brian Branch. Even though I have Bijan Robinson a good tier higher as a grade, I just don't know that Bijan Robinson, the player is fantastic. I just worry, even with Austin Ekeler potentially departing. Now, if Austin Ekeler is gone, Bijan Robinson is my pick. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like with the way the team is laid out, I do want to invest in someone like Brian Branch now, who does do enough things to help maximize the defense. How much better was my defense last year? Because Alohi Gilman just played slightly more sound football than Nasir Adderley.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now take someone like Brian Branch, who, now granted, it's college football, we don't know for sure, who can blitz, who has missed like four tackles in 4 years or whatever it is. His missed tackle rate is 3%. Like all those plays, you know, I think Bijan Robinson can do a lot for the offense, of course. Brian Branch will do kind of the reverse for opposing offenses, where last year, we struggled so much to stop Seattle on a 50-yard play, the Jaguars on a 50-yard play, the Chiefs on a 50-yard play, the Texans on a 50-yard play. There were so many moments where we just could not stop guys. And I think if I'm looking at how I'm going to beat the Chiefs, I actually feel like, now this is a big stretch, Brian Branch might be able to do that for me more, helping someone like a Travis Kelce. I mean, how many times do they run shallow crossing patterns or something simple across the middle of the field? And I didn't have the horses to stop them. And Travis Kelce had three touchdowns. Couldn't stop him because I did not have the DBs to do that. And I think, personally, as much as the chat, I'm not looking at it, but I'm sure the chat hates me right now. I feel comfortable in the scheme. I feel comfortable in running Austin Ekeler into the ground because I think he's coming back because there's nothing else out there for him. I think Brian Branch allows you to express both Derwin James and this defense, and actually sort of Alohi and JT Woods more as well. Yes, Brian Branch would come in and be a safety, but because of how much he can do from the slot, covering, blitzing, run defending, you name it, I do think that allows you to still develop JT Woods as your free safety, your deep safety, and then do a lot with Alohi and Derwin James. So I think the multiplier there is really significant. Bijan's my highest graded player, but I think in terms of the snaps that I need on my defense to compete right now, I think Brian Branch is the guy I'm going to go with.
yeah, I think it's fair to go with Brian Branch here, just because, like we said, some of this does depend on the John Johnson thing. That's something that we're going to watch, I guess, over the next couple weeks here, depending on what happens pre and post-draft. Because, I mean, John Johnson, depending on how the safety market goes, could be kind of in the Bryce Callahan position.
Sure.
You know, sort of being like that close to or post-draft signing, depending on how things play out. If I had to guess what the Chargers would do here in that situation between Bijan and Brian Branch, I do believe that Staley would ultimately go with Brian Branch.
Yeah, that's tough. And, you know, people are obviously in the chat not excited that we didn't choose Bijan Robinson. But, you know, like Brian Branch is a fantastic player, and I'd be really excited about that. I think he does help solve the run defense. I think he helps solve the pass defense a little bit as well. And I think the value for offense in this draft is really just on day two and day three. And so, you know, I didn't even talk about my guy Dalton Kincaid. Like that's where we're at. And I do think him not testing does impact the chances of the Chargers taking him or not. Like, I think, you know, the Chargers do value having a complete picture of a prospect. And I know Kevin Coger was at the pro day at Utah earlier this week, but I just don't think that, not having the full picture of Dalton Kincaid would lend itself towards them drafting him. So this is a really good tight end class. I've bumped up Luke Schoonmaker a little bit recently. Like, you can find good quality tight end prospects in round three, round four. There's one on the board right now. So I just think like tight end probably ends up waiting. I know there's a ton of buzz right now for the Chargers with Dalton, with Michael Mayer, but I just think the Chargers probably end up waiting in at that position. So, yeah. Tyler, why don't you scroll up a little bit and see some of the recent players taken before the Chargers here at pick number 54.
Okay, so some of the more notable ones that I'm sure we're looking for, Jalin Hyatt has gone, Will McDonald has gone, Brian Brazee is gone, BJ Ojulari, all the way to pick 39. I still don't believe that's happening. Felix Anadike Uzama, who I've come to really, really like as a trade back option if possible.
Yeah.
He's gone. Josh Downs has gone in the second round here. Adetamiwa Adebuare is gone. Isaiah Foskey, kind of a popular round two pick for a lot of Chargers fans or Chargers media members. Darnell Washington just went at pick 51. And Clark Phillips. I'll just
Damn,
say his
Steven,
name.
Steven can't do me the pitch on Clark Phillips.
Yeah.
I will say, like, I mean, obviously I love Clark, but I don't think I would take him on the Chargers. Just like the Chargers need more size in the slot, more power in the slot. And I think you get that with Brian Branch. I don't think you get that with Clark as much as I like him. You know, him and Asante together, that's just too small for my liking as much as I do like both of those players. All right. So, so this is going to be Alex's pick here. Alex is going to be the owner in this instance. Which means me and Tyler get to pitch him on some players as Tyler's running through some things. So like I said, to me, this is a prime offensive skill player approach at this point. You know, I do think Jack Campbell would be a lot of fun with Eric Kendricks, and I think that also gets certain former first-round linebacker off the starting role. So that's something I would at least consider. But to me, this is where you want to get a playmaker. And so to me, I'm looking at the tight ends. To me, I'm looking at the running backs, or not the running backs, excuse me, tight ends or wide receivers. Wide receivers, I feel like you can probably get later here. You know, Tyler Scott's still on the board. I know Alex isn't a big fan of him either. I'm not a big Tank Dell guy. Marvin Mims is sorely underrated at this point. So for me, I would kind of debate between Sam Laporta in this instance. I've kind of cooled on Luke Musgrave a bit. So I would debate between Sam Laporta, who I knew we took him in our last mock draft. and I'm going to go with, so I'm ultimately going to advocate here for one of the wide receivers. And, I think in this instance, again, we took Marvin Mims last time. So I'm going to advocate for Tyler Scott at this point, because I think he probably does end up going higher than some of these other guys. Tyler Scott, to me, I love the pace that he plays with. I love how well he's able to throttle down vertically and in the short area. He doesn't give you a ton of yards after catch ability, but to me, he's a very seamless upgrade over Jalin Guyton as your fourth wide receiver. He can work as a kick returner as well. You know, he ran a 4.44 at the combine, which was kind of disappointing for some people. It's still very fast. He ran a 4.32 at his pro day this week. So he's probably somewhere right in the middle there, probably, you know, a high 4.3 guy. So to me, I'm going to advocate for Tyler Scott because I think he checks the most important box for the Chargers offense at this point, which is that vertical speed threat. And I do think the pace that he plays, the ball skills that he plays with, make this a great option for Justin Herbert and company. And so I would go with Tyler Scott at this point.
Yeah, that's a really good one there. If I'm looking at a receiver in round two, and this is the board that's there, to me, it is between Mims and Tyler Scott. I would lean towards Mims.
Yeah,
we have discussed him before. So as you did, I think pivoting somewhere else would be good. Just to change things up a little bit, because I do love Laporta, but we did talk about him. Musgrave, I like quite a bit. I've cooled on him a bit as well. Not like significantly where he's like a tight end eight all of a sudden, but I've cooled on him just a bit. I do think he is a matchup nightmare in terms of what he can do. But I'm going to go just for the sake of changing things up a bit. I do want to talk about Keon White, who's still left on the board here. It is a bit of a tougher evaluation because you're weighing ceiling versus floor here. But I think if you're going to learn from anyone, you want to set him behind Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack. You want to get him involved because he can do several things for you. So you get both Giff Smith and Jay Rogers feeding him some feedback there. The ceiling here is a legit pass rushing nightmare. You have to notice, and again, this is the floor pitch, or excuse me, the ceiling pitch here, where and how far he's come since being recruited as a tight end. And I think that freakishness off the line of scrimmage comes from him being an offensive skill player first, then converting to edge rusher. So it'll take some time to get him back, to get him like up to maybe where you want him to be. But that's perfect because he'll be your edge three in this case. I just think that he is so freaky, so twitchy. It's kind of like, this is maybe the most favorable comparison, they're not the same rusher, but in terms of upside and potential and skill versus maybe where they are currently, this does feel like a Boye Mafe kind of situation where you want to find someone who is extremely talented and can do so many things, but you have to refine them. And I think in this defense, now that we have Derek Ansley as the defensive coordinator, now we obviously have had Jay Rogers, we have Giff Smith, we have two excellent edge rushers, I think you have to start prioritizing edge rusher. And I feel like you believe in yourself enough to hit on one of these early edge prospects. You know, Achenna Nwosu, it took him a few years to really get there. But I also feel like that was an opportunity thing because there was always just two guys ahead of him unless somebody got hurt. Mm-hmm. We need to start figuring out this edge player soon. And I think that we're looking at the barrel of Khalil Mack being the cut candidate next season. And so we need to find a next freak guy to learn behind these guys and become our edge rusher of the future. So is he my highest graded available? I don't believe so. I think that would be technically Tyjae Spears is my highest graded available, but I love him with all my heart. Someone like Marvin Mims, Sam Laporta, I do have graded higher, yeah. But I'm looking at the ceiling here. And at some point, you know, we just invested in a safety, and I think we need to go towards, you know, another premium position at that point. So wide receiver, I love, and that's probably what I'd advocate for. But in this case, to be a little bit different, I want to go edge rusher here.
Yeah, I think the elevator pitch there is good. It kind of, what your pitch kind of reminded me of is like the Ravens with Odafe Owe a few years ago.
Oh, right to your heart then.
Yeah. Very, very like raw prospect, but like you said, he sits behind like Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack and kind of learn for a couple years and, you know, eventually take over once the Chargers probably have to part ways with one of them. I'm all offense, baby. And man, I wasn't going to come back to the show if I wasn't damn sure that I was going to take a wide receiver and a running back. So,
okay.
I do like the tight ends here, though. Tucker Kraft is kind of the Hunter Henry clone. He's kind of a fun one to watch if the Chargers want to go there. Sam Laporta, obviously, kind of the most athletic, I think, of the bunch of tight ends at this point. I think they can kind of wait on the tight ends, though, especially kind of having Gerald Everett in the fold, re-signing Donald Parham for 2 years. So like I sort of could get like if they wanted Dalton Kincaid in round one or if they wanted to go with one of the guys here. But I think with how Kellen Moore can utilize Gerald Everett and get kind of maybe his best season out of him after he already had his kind of best season of his career last year, I'm sort of okay to wait on it. The Chargers need a wide receiver, man. And this to me is like the perfect time to take one. I think they could wait like a little bit longer if they wanted to. But I did most of my mock drafts on PFF, and anytime like you take Marvin Mims in the second round, they act like it's a war crime. They give you an F because of draft position, and he's somehow 114th on their board.
Yeah,
I don't
ridiculous.
Know. He's 86 here, which I still think is too low. Tank Dell, I don't get Tank Dell, man. I've been on this train. Like, man, he comes from the like Wandale Robinson, Tutu Atwell school of like, we're trying to like make the small shifty guy like work. I don't see it with him personally. I know there's a lot of people on Chargers Twitter who like him and some who would even take him at 21, which is insane to me. Marvin Mims is the best receiver on the board, and I will be taking Marvin Mims from the University of Oklahoma. Ran a 4.38. He's got speed, is in I think the 90th percentile of yards per route run in the country this year. So he's a very refined route runner as well, right? Like, there's been this debate between Chargers Twitter in the first round with Zay Flowers, who's this masterful route runner, or Jalen Hyatt, who only can run in a straight line. Marvin Mims kind of has the ability to vertically do both. Like, he is a really good route runner. I wouldn't say he's like quite as good as Zay Flowers, for example, but kind of has like a full assortment of like a bag there of what he can do. And also like test is very good at using his route running to create leverage vertically. And so for me, Marvin Mims, if Oklahoma wasn't complete dog water this year, I think that he would be much higher in this class. I think he would certainly be in like the top tier of round two that we're talking about here.
Yeah.
And I think that you just have to take him at this point. I think more confidently could probably replace one of Keenan Allen or Mike Williams next year with a Marvin Mims pick here. I don't think I can say the other things about the wide receivers. So thinking long term, I think the best option here is Marvin Mims, who is just kind of an athletic freak. Very good at locating the ball, like Solomon says in the chat. And for his size, even though he's 5'10", 5'11", also very good at contested catches, which you can see in the Oklahoma State game if you want to go watch that one. But yeah, Marvin Mims to me, best receiver on the board, and I would take him here.
Yeah, you know, we took him in the third round in our first mock draft, and, you know, at that point, that just feels too low. Like, I know he's 86 here. He's 114 on PFF. I think he's going to go, you know, in the top 60 picks, in my opinion. Like, it makes too much sense in this class where you have a player like him, has the speed profile, has the route profile. And, you know, Alex is talking about Oklahoma being shit, and it absolutely was. Like, there's a game against Texas where they are literally running the Wildcat with a tight end like 17 times. And, but that's the thing, is Marvin Mims, like, analytically, like, his numbers are like second or third in the class, if I'm not mistaken, you know, based on a per play basis. So he's standing out even when his quarterback play is subpar. Like, you know, for all of the Zay Flowers love out there, like, his numbers are not exactly elite numbers. Like, I understand that there's a lot of skill set and talent, you know, evaluation that's necessary. I like Zay Flowers a lot. You know, he's my wide receiver too. But Marvin Mims to me, like, he stood out in a subpar situation consistently in every single category. So I love Marvin Mims. You know, if they can get him in the third round, great. But I'm on board. I'm 100% on board taking him in the second round. And that would be, this would be my pick as well, in this instance. But, you know, obviously I wanted to kind of mix it up a little bit and go with somebody else.
Yeah. Christian Hernandez thinks I want 40 defensive players on the team this year. Well, we needed 40 last year, first off.
Yeah. That's,
But no, I was just pitching something different. Marvin Mims, like, for perspective, is 24th on my big board right now. Granted, I haven't gotten to the tackles or corners or some of the safeties yet. But he's going to be like wide receiver 5 or 6 for me when all is said and done. Yeah. I love Marvin Mims. Like, ever since I watched him, you just want to watch guys on film who just elevate certain things. To me, that is contested catch situations. If you want to go by what else he can do in terms of yards per attempt, he had 14.5 yards per attempt on punt returns this past season, which I believe was like 5th or 6th in this draft class. He did have one kickoff return. It went for 38 yards. So there's that. Not much sample size there, but there is that. So yeah, Marvin Mims, you know, I pitched something else. Steven, you know, was kind enough to pitch a different receiver.
Yeah.
But to me, Marvin Mims, if he's there, like, this is going to be one of those players I just mock over and over again to the Chargers because he's that good. And I think that the trust that you can build in someone like a Marvin Mims is something Justin Herbert is looking for. Not just the speed, but the trust. Like, there was a moment against the Bengals 2 years ago He just threw it to Jalen Guyton against Jesse Bates, and that really should be a mismatch. But Jalen Guyton came down with that one, you know, against the Giants, split and double double coverage or whatever it was, throws it, and Jalen Guyton's going to get it. There's that trust that really isn't there with the receivers on this team after the first two. Obviously he trusts Keenan Allen. I think they're building trust with Josh Palmer, but there's something about Jalen Guyton and the way he trusted him that I think is missing. So maybe Guyton comes back, but if he does, I think Marvin Mims is still an excellent fit for this team. So yeah, I love it. This is where I honestly would have gone personally.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, so we're going to go Marvin Mims at pick 54 after taking Brian Branch in the first round. If you're just joining us, make sure and come back later and watch our conversation about Brian Branch. So are we already back on the board? This thing goes quick, man.
Yeah.
All right, Tyler, so you want to go through some recent players off the board?
Absolutely. So some more recent guys. Schoonmaker almost has a good last name. He went to the Rams. Tank Dell went to the Seahawks. Sean Tucker to Syracuse, or not to Syracuse, to whoever picks before us. The running back Zach Charbonnet went to the Saints. Who else are we looking for? Zach Evans went pretty high. Tyler Scott went to the Houston Texans. That's a solid switch. If you're moving on from Cooks, you switched to Scott.
Yeah.
Not bad. Zach Harrison, that makes a ton of sense for the Chiefs, unfortunately. So he goes there. Keon White, who I pitched, went to the Bears. That sounds fun. And then Musgrave, of course, not with Kellen Moore, but with the Dallas Cowboys.
There you go. All right, so some players on the board here. If we want to maybe look at the tight ends, see how that is. Okay, so Sam Laporte is still on the board. Diane Hanley, the linebacker from Washington State, I know there's a good amount of love for him. Devon Achane, Tucker Kraft is still here. Luke Weipler, the center from Ohio State. Andre Carter, the edge rusher from Army. I know there's a good story there. I'm not a huge fan personally of that process. Noah Sewell. So this is maybe some linebacker territory if the Chargers would want to go that route. DeMarvian Overshown, excuse me. Tyjae Spears is still on the board. So, all right. So this is my pick. So I'll let Alex pitch first, and then Tyler, and then we'll see where I want to go.
I'll first start off with who I wouldn't pitch, but I really like. I like Garrett Williams out of Syracuse a lot. He currently is coming off of an ACL tear. And so for that reason, I think he would be a lot higher in this process if it wasn't that. But in a room where J.C. Jackson is going to be coming off of a torn patella tendon, and, you know, there's a lot of questions just kind of in the Chargers cornerback room, you know, regarding Michael Davis's future and extension and stuff like that. I don't know if he's like the most, we're just going to plug him in right now and he's ready to play. Tyjae Spears, I'd love to pitch on Tyjae Spears, who might be the pick here, but I have to save a running back for later. Otherwise, we're going to end up with two running backs, which I wouldn't complain, but Steven and Tyler would. I think you go tight end here, in my opinion. I know I just kind of made the case of just like making Gerald Everett tight end one and being fine with that. But if Sam Laporta, I don't think he's going to be on the board at 85, right? It is right. Kind of a projected difference of 25 spots here on Mock Draft Database. So we could either pretend he's off the board, on the board, whatever we want to do. But I would go with him, or I would go with Tucker Kraft. I talked a little bit about him earlier. Not the most like athletic upside guy in the way that I think Sam Laporta is, but I think he's a little bit better of a blocker. Kind of in the vein of like a Pat Freiermuth last year to the Steelers. I sort of think that's what you could get out of like Tucker Kraft from South Dakota State, who also produced Dallas Goedert and, you know, kind of is becoming a little bit of a tight end school themselves. So for me, yeah, I don't feel like insane between this pick, between the two of them. I don't feel like super passionate about it, but because of athletic upside and sort of what he could become in this league, I think you would go with Sam Laporta, what he could do with Justin Herbert, as far as what he is as a route runner out of this tight end class. I think he's probably easily the best guy, probably not named Dalton Kincaid in that regard. And adding that to your offense, to which we already added Marvin Mims, I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I don't really know how I'm supposed to argue with that, except for Tyjae Spears. And here's what I'm going to say about that guy. What did Joshua Kelley say about how you measure the success of an NFL running back? That's yards after contact, yards after the catch. Tyjae Spears, I forget what the number is because it's been so long, but I think there's a good 1,500 yards of after contact, after the catch this past season. And I think that the guys like Spiller and maybe even guys like Kelley, they don't have that. Spears is someone who I just think brings a different element to this team. And if I'm missing out on Bijan on round one, and we did, I passed on him, I think someone like Spears, one, shouldn't be the 101st player on this big board. I think that's ridiculous. No. After he's aced every single thing, good against good competition, great at testing, great at the Senior Bowl, you know, everywhere he goes, everything he does is fantastic. The numbers check out. He's number one on a per play basis for our board as well. So Spears to me, you know, I'm worried about having to look for running back later on. If I miss on Tyjae Spears and I don't take him now, and I do think you have to take him to the third round, I can't imagine he goes to day three. But the guys later on, I'm more worried about. Now you're really hoping that Austin Eckler doesn't hold in. Now you're really hoping Joshua Kelley stays healthy. Now you're really hoping Isaiah Spiller does pan out. I think they can. I think all things can be good, but I don't know that for sure. And, you know, whereas Bijan Robinson, you can kind of just take him and plug him and start ahead. You know, the rest of these guys here, I don't really know if they can carry much of the offense if Austin Eckler is gone. Tyjae Spears is the only guy I really trust that can do that. So now, again, I would go with Alex's pick of Sam Laporta. I do like that one a lot more than in this particular moment. But I would strongly consider Tyjae Spears here. We're a little early. I would also start to maybe consider interior offensive line, which sounds ridiculous, but I think at some point we have to consider it, but it's too early. So to me, I know Gavino wants Nick Hampton. I promise we'll eventually get to that, I think. To me, it's Tyjae Spears as the pick here.
Yeah, this is an interesting debate, obviously, because I would be shocked if Sam Laporta were on the board at this point. To me, like I've gone back and forth on the tight ends. Like I wasn't expecting him to test the way that he did test. I thought that he was an above average athlete, but he tested like an elite athlete. So, you know, when you see things like that, you got to go back and rewatch the prospect and, you know, Sam Laporta, I elevated a little bit, you know, more so cooling on Luke Musgrave. So, you know, I currently have Sam Laporta as my tight end three in this class, ahead of Darnell Washington and behind Dalton Kincaid and Michael Mayer. So I'm a big fan of Sam Laporta. Again, if he's here, you run this pick in, right? I think you could run the pick in at 54, and I think you'd be very, very happy with that. So I almost kind of want to operate here as if he's not on the board. I don't know what you guys think about that. But if he's here, I think you kind of have to run the pick in. The running back conversation is interesting because obviously we passed on Bijan, I think for good reason, but you know, a lot of people still like, they still want kind of like that physical complementary back to Austin Eckler. Like, I think you need something different. Like that's what you have Joshua Kelley and Isaiah Spiller for. You drafted those two to be kind of your downhill complementary backs to Austin Eckler. So if you're going to go running back in this draft class, as much as I like a guy like Roschon Johnson or, you know, maybe even like a Zach Charbonnet, like I think that's just too redundant to what the room currently has. Like Devon Achane and Tyjae Spears to me bring something different. I mean, Devon Achane, you're talking about legit track speed. You're talking about one of the best kick returners in the country the past few years. So I'm kind of leaning running back at this point, almost partially because I'm of the belief that Sam Laporta is not going to be here at this point. So I'm on board with Tyler. I'm going with Tyjae Spears in this instance. I do think that he can really help elevate the running back room as opposed to kind of like complementing it. You know, maybe he's your RB1 of the future. And this still gives you a role for Joshua Kelley. It gives you a role for Isaiah Spillers. Those two can kind of figure that part out. Tyjae Spears can be kind of your change of pace, your speed threat. And I think eventually could potentially become your RB1. So I agree with Tyler. I think 101 is too low for him. He's my current RB3 behind Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs. And the rest of these running backs, I just think like you know, Kendre Miller, like his RAS comp is literally Joshua Kelly. Like if you go and look at it. So
of course
I'm just not interested in going down that route again. So, you know, I do think tight end is just kind of like, I think Sam Laporta is not here in this instance. So I kind of want to be semi-realistic. I do think you can, at this point with these tight ends off the board, kind of maybe wait a little bit and see what you can get out of a guy like Payne Durham or Cameron Latu or Zach Kuntz. So I'm going to go with the running back and the best running back who I think is available, and that is Tajay Spears. Sorry, Alex, I take your day three pick away from you, but, you know, I think this is the way to go here.
Yeah, I like Tajay Spears a lot, and you might take the day three pick away from me, but you're not going to take the day three pitch away from me.
Okay.
I like Tajay Spears a lot. I think he really broke out this year, obviously. Probably, I don't know if the knee injury from a couple of years ago was sort of like holding him back in terms of like his stock in this class, obviously towards ACL in 2020. But he's far removed from that now at this point. I think Tajay Spears, you see what he did to USC, which is still one of the craziest performances like I've seen from a college running back, and just what he would add to this room. He is different, right? He's not like a big running back in the sense of, I think he's 5'10", 210, right? He's kind of a little bit Joshua Kelly like sized, but provides like a different level, I think, of athleticism, and provides a different ceiling out of the backfield and what he can do and potentially taking over for Austin Ekeler in 2024 on both the ground and in the air. So I don't hate the Tajay Spears pick at all.
I can't believe that that's where we went, but I'm happy because he's my RB2 and I love him. Not that my running back picks are always rock solid. I was Rashad White team RB1 last year, although he is the RB1 Tampa, so that's not bad. But Spears, I think, especially in round three, you would be getting a quote unquote steal here, which as we know, isn't always a real thing. But if you're not going to get Bijan Robinson, get the guy who's better than him in yards per attempt, yards after contact per attempt, breakaway rate, yards after the catch per reception, at a very different level of competition. But I just think he's checked every single box. A Senior Bowl guy as well, tested very well, looks the part, acts the part. I'm all for it. So cool. Works for me. Steven, you're back up, right?
Yeah, I am. Before we get there, I had a super chat earlier from Richard Mazara. He wants to know, sorry if I missed it, but what's your thoughts on Michael Mayer at 21? He says the more that he watches him, the more he's convinced he's the best tight end in this class and a true difference maker on offense. Mm-hmm. And he also adds, go San Diego State. Man, I can't believe San Diego State and FAU are in the Final Four. Just kind of crazy. Michael Mayer was not on the board at 21, if I remember correctly. So. But Alex, what are your thoughts on Michael Mayer at 21 if he is on the board?
Telesco might take him. There's that. I like Michael Mayer. I personally am a Dalton Kincaid person myself as tight end one over Michael Mayer. But I think what he brings in terms of blocking ability, he's clearly the best blocker in this class. And what he can do in the receiving game, probably. We were talking about like comps for who Dalton Kincaid is and who Michael Mayer is. And like the most consistent thing that keeps coming up for Michael Mayer is Jason Witten. And to me as a blocker, he is a little bit like wooden in terms of like a receiver, right? He's not a guy that is going to be as good of a receiving tight end as someone like Dalton Kincaid or maybe have that ceiling. But if the Chargers went with him in the first round, I wouldn't be mad because they could find a way to utilize him pretty well. In a weird way, I think that Dalton Kincaid could probably put on a little bit of weight to become a better blocker. And I think Michael Mayer could probably like cut down a little bit to become a bit more of like a faster, like route runner kind of guy. Not that he's ever going to like become that as like his ceiling, but, you know, just different types of tight ends that you would kind of be drafting no matter which team. But I get why people have Michael Mayer as a tight end one, obviously.
Yeah, I forget what the name of the Twitter user is, but they've been posting just Chargers stuff, like plays, highlights and things from over the years. And one of them was the Antonio Gates hat trick versus the Seahawks, which I was there for, which is amazing. And, you know, different situations, I wouldn't say that was as much contested catch as it was just Gates just having a freak show sort of day. But when it came down to the red zone, Rivers was like, I'm throwing it to Antonio Gates. I don't care if that's a Legion of Boom in their prime after a Super Bowl win. And Gates, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. And I think, you know, Michael Mayer, is he the most maybe exciting player? No, I don't think so. But he's kind of just won at every spot. You know, the production, like the production is good. He's either first or second in yards per route run, and Kincaid is first or second. I can't remember which one is which, but they're neck and neck there. The contested catch work is so, so good. If you looked at me, you know, if Tom Telesco came to me and said, hey, you know, my goal here is to fix the red zone offense and score as much as we freaking can, because we can't be having pick sixes at the goal line against Kansas City. We need more options out there. And we're moving on from Mike Williams potentially at some point. So we need someone who can really go up and get it. And so I'm taking Michael Mayer, and then eventually I'm going to go get like a Tajay Spears and then just solve everything at the goal line with my perfect offensive line. I would totally get it. So is he my favorite player? No, but I would 100% get the rationale here, because they need to solve this tight end spot. And Mayer is the best player of this entire group at contested catches. It's just so special what he does there. Yeah. So I would completely understand.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan of Michael Mayer as well. Like, I think people kind of misconstrue the fact that, like, he's not my tight end one, meaning to like, oh, you hate Michael Mayer. Like, that's just not true. Like, I think Michael Mayer is a really fantastic prospect. I would be on board with him, you know, being a pick at 21. I know there's like a contingency of Chargers Twitter that really hates the idea of taking a tight end in the first round, but he helps solve the biggest problem with the Chargers run game last year, which was the tight end blocking. Like, you know, there was that screenshot, right, of Trey McKitty, where it's like PFF rating 73 out of 73. Like, drafting Michael Mayer gets him off of the field. Like, you know, that, like, as sad as that is to say out loud, you know, I was a fan of Trey McKitty when they drafted him. But Michael Mayer just gives you something different, right? Like, I think you have a really solid tight end room with Michael Mayer, Gerald Everett, and Donald Parham. And I think Michael Mayer can handle all of your dirty work. I think he can be, you know, a seam worker of a tight end as well. Like Tyler's talking about the contested catch situations, and just be that safety valve. So yes, if you draft Michael Mayer in round one, you're probably not giving him, you know, 90 targets and 60 catches or whatever, but next year he's your legit tight end one, and he can build with Justin Herbert for the long term, which I think is definitely a need. So at some point I think they will, you know, at a tight end. And if it's Michael Mayer, Dalton Kincaid, Sam Laporta, like whoever, I think we will see the Chargers probably ultimately take a tight end earlier than we have in this mock draft so far.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he catches a lot of flack because he's not the sexy offensive pick at 21 that Bijan is or Zay Flowers in terms of like the highlight package. But in terms of just like, this guy's safe, he's your tight end for the next 10 years. Sure. I mean, Michael Mayer, there may be no one safer other than Dalton Kincaid in that regard, and you can make the alternative case that Mayer is tight end one like many people have, so wouldn't hate that pick at 21 either.
Yeah, and I would say in a vacuum, I think the Chargers would probably prefer Mayer over Kincaid at this point, just because of the uncertainty around Dalton's back injury, and you know, he doesn't have the testing verification. I think the back injury, people being worried about it, is kind of bullshit, but you know, that's my opinion. I mean, he played through the injury in the Pac-12 title game, like he's fine. I just think like the lack of testing data, I think, does impact his stock, and specifically for the Chargers, like who are going to want a complete picture here. So,
yeah.
All right, we'll move on here. We're on day three. We're already 50 minutes into this, so we'll speed up the process a little bit here. Tyler, if you want to run through some names, and then you can pitch your pick, and then Alex can pitch his.
Ooh, okay. So Payne Durham went to the Patriots because they love tight ends, and Bill Belichick can't get enough of tight ends.
Yep.
I'll be honest, I don't know half of the other linebackers or corners at this spot, so I couldn't tell you. Moro Ojomo, who we just talked about a couple days ago, went. Oh, Yaya Diabe went to the Patriots. That's someone I would consider here. Byron Young, the one from Alabama, went to the Colts. So yeah. As far as guys that are available, let me see who's available. Okay. Well, we don't need a running back anymore, so that's gone. Carl Brooks is someone I really like. So screw it. I'll pitch a player that no one is going to, the grade's going to give me an F for pitching this player. I don't care because no one's talking about him yet. And I don't know why. Thank you, Gavino Borges from Chargers Wire, for pointing this player out. I have almost a second round grade on Nick Hampton, the edge rusher from Appalachian State. Is he perfect? No, but I think the burst, the freakishness is there. And he does fit the, you know, the arm length criteria that we're looking for. And if you're wondering, you know, a guy from Appalachian State, is there a whole lot of games where he's playing? He's not playing, you know, he's not playing Georgia and then Alabama and then all these teams every week. Sure. But go watch his game against North Carolina, who's probably the best team that he faced on that schedule. 7 pressures, 3 sacks, 4 run stops, and a forced fumble in that game. This player can bend. This player is very athletic. I think he's completely underrated. I think there was an injury to end his season, but it wasn't like a season ender as much as it was this injury just knocked him out the last few games. But the previous season, he did have 52 pressures and 12 sacks for Appalachian State. This player, I think, is really, really good. He's so talented that they have him playing slot corner sometimes, and he would blitz from slot corner and get to the quarterback. That's how athletic this guy is. So you got someone who's fast, who can bend, who's got burst, who I think is productive and fits the measurables that this team needs. We don't have an edge rusher right now, also, by the way. So I think this player is someone you want to look for in the fourth round. Guvino took him as a potential option in the fourth round. The mock draft database is going to hate it and give me an F because he's currently ranked 182nd. But I just think this guy's getting no love. And I think if you go watch that North Carolina game, you'll see, okay, there's something a little bit more here than some of the guys. Like, I would take him over Isaiah Foskey if we're looking for a pass rusher.
Ooh. All right. Guvino says he's a top 5 edge in his class. So
he did beat Max Mitchell in 2021. Mitchell definitely was slightly more powerful at the time, it seemed. I did watch that game, especially for Max Mitchell, against him. And I think he did a really, really good job against a player that we really liked. And that was a year ago. So in theory, this player is better and has grown. Another Senior Bowl player. So yeah, I really do like Nick Hampton. No one's going to know who the hell I'm talking about, but go watch the North Carolina game.
Yeah, I don't know who the hell you're talking about, so I'm going to have to go watch him too. but yeah, I mean, sounds like a great profile of a guy that you would want to stick behind Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. And like we said earlier, kind of learn the ropes before potentially one of them has to take over next year. Can we go to the all tab and see who's available on the board? All right. This was like kind of the spot I was planning for the running back, but now we took Tyjae Spears. So.
Who was it?
We haven't scrolled past him yet. So we'll get to him.
We got to really scroll. Later. Okay.
He's very much in the "you won't know him" category.
Love it.
Wow. All right.
We haven't addressed tight end, so let's see if there's anyone kind of left on the board. No.
Perhaps waited a little too long, but you know.
Yeah, I feel like this was kind of like, well, you should have taken Sam Laporta over Tyjae Spears, but I get why we took Tyjae Spears 100%. Do we have any names that like offensive tackle?
No, I will overrule you on that one. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean,
I can BS something if you want me to just like talk about other guys.
I mean, at this point in the draft, I'm not as educated on who we have left here. So yeah, if you want to shoot some names, I'm down for it.
Okay. Depends how you list him. Carl Brooks is technically listed as an interior defensive lineman here. I think he can do both. You see him play nose, 3 tech, stand up edge rusher, you name it. So Carl Brooks with 69 pressures last season would be a good one to go for. I don't know how many quote-unquote small school guys you want to go to. Spears from Tulane, you know, Carl Brooks from Bowling Green. But hey, Sioux Falls worked out, so you never know.
took a couple of years for it to work out. But
yeah, no problem. That's a fourth rounder at this point. That's fine.
Yeah.
Keandre Coburn is a player that I think would be amazing with Jay Rogers. Or too early for Will Mallory for me personally. I know last time we did take Dorian Williams. So I don't know if you want to talk about him. I do think I've looked at these two players, Braden Daniels and John Gaines. I do have Daniels over Gaines. Gaines did hit that. Was it the short shuttle threshold that you need to be an elite offensive lineman or whatever it is?
He did. He was the only one. So for those who don't know, the short shuttle is kind of a cheat code for interior offensive linemen. Josh Norris from Underdogs Fantasy Sports pointed this out. I think it's I can't remember the specific number, but there's a very specific threshold that has kind of become a cheat code for finding quality offensive linemen. Maybe Tyler's looking it up.
No, sorry, I was typing something else.
Okay. Anyways, John Gaines is the only interior offensive lineman to hit that threshold this year. So I'm a fan of his. Obviously, I'm a fan of Braden Daniels, but I think in this case, at this point in the draft, with a safety, a wide receiver, and a running back, I think the Chargers do have to go with an edge rusher. I have not watched Nick Hampton yet either, so I'm not going to choose him. You know, unfortunately for Tyler and Gavino, I am going to choose Mike Morris though. However, so I'm a big fan of his. I think he is a little bit underrated in this class. And again, I think he just gives them something different in this class because he can rush from the inside in sub packages. I don't think that he's a defensive lineman. Like, I think he is a true edge rusher. So I think to me, like, you watch him and he's kind of Isaiah Foskey light. You know, Foskey is kind of a, you know, really superb run defender. And so is Mike Morris. So I think he gives them bit of a more physical, stronger presence opposite of Chris Rumpf. I think they need that kind of, you know, presence. Not to say that Chris Rumpf is like completely done developing or anything like that. But Mike Morris to me just checks that power threshold that I think this team needs to be able to set the edge properly, be able to work stunts. His pass rush production is not great. It's not, you know, a top tier pass rusher at this point. I think he can develop into that player. But I like his inside-outside versatility. I think he's firmly an edge rusher who can kick in occasionally. Mm. You know, he's kind of different than Carl Brooks. Carl Brooks, to me, is, you know, has more of a profile of somebody who's inside who can play outside. So Mike Morris, I think, you know, checks a lot of boxes for them. Daniel Popper did have them taking Mike Morris in the third round in his first mock draft, for what it's worth. That's not obviously why I'm taking him. I do really like the player. Chargers need an edge rusher, so I'm going Mike Morris from Michigan.
Awesome. I love the idea of adding maybe a tweener type or a more power type. I've sort of considered, even if Kyle Van Noy comes back, find someone who's just a kind of a run defending, maybe an ugly sort of thing in the trenches type. And if that's him, I haven't watched him, but I'm all for it. So cool.
I'd be curious. I mean, yeah, you made the Mike Morris pick. Edge, guys, when we talked about, I honestly haven't kept up on him, but I did like Brenton Cox a little bit last year when he was maybe considering entering the draft and then ultimately chose not to. How did his 22 go? I honestly didn't follow it much at all.
I didn't watch him either. I only got to the defensive lineman, Dexter.
Yeah, there's Jervon Dexter, their offensive lineman. Brenton Cox was a Shrine Bowl guy. I think he was kind of a linebacker edge hybrid there for that week. I haven't rewatched any of his 2022 stuff. And for what it's worth, Brayden Daniels kicked his ass in week one.
He got kicked off of Florida.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that
until today. So
what was his crime? We can debate whether it's worse or better than bike thief.
Hey, and did he do well in the NFL? No. Well, no, I'm just kidding.
All right. So this is, Tyler, no, this is Alex's pick. I'm sorry. So, obviously, at this point, Brian Branch, Marvin Williams, Tyjae Spears, Mike Morris, still have not addressed tight end. Chargers probably do need a linebacker as well. You know, we'll see kind of what other needs. You know, they probably should double dip at wide receiver at some point. They do need an interior offensive lineman, in my opinion. So, my pitch here is going to be one of the interior offensive linemen for Alex. If you want to go towards that tab. Okay, so Brayden Daniels, John Gaines, I think is Mafi off the board?
I think he's lower. Yeah, 264.
Okay, so he's a little bit lower. So I am, for the sake of not being a Utah homer, I'm going to pitch John Gaines. I think he does have center versatility, which I think this team does need. You know, obviously I'm not projecting him exclusively as a center, but I think he's a perfect fit for what kind of versatility that Kellen Moore is going to bring to this team. And, you know, obviously we'll see how long Kellen Moore is around here, but John Gaines is a very high quality guard to me. You know, he can step in right away and be your swing into your offensive lineman period. I think he can be a great fit in an outside zone scheme. I think he's got an underrated power base to him as well. Had a fantastic week at the I think he was NFLPA Bowl actually. So, he's an underrated player. I think he will go early day three. Chargers do need a backup interior swing offensive lineman. So he's got some really good power to him, got some good athleticism to him. Obviously, you know, met that short shuttle number that we talked about. So John Gaines would be my pick here if I were making the selection.
See, now if I were at the selection, I would go with Utah's Braden Daniels. I don't know if you know who he is. Seriously though, I know no one's liking our mock draft because we're not doing the same players that everyone's picked. But I think that's kind of the point too. Yeah. Not to be different, but also to be kind of smart about and realistic. We don't know how long Corey Linsley's got. Trey Pipkins battled an MCL sprain. We technically don't know about Sawyer at left guard. Zion did not get hurt, although I believe there was like a shoulder injury at one point. Mm-hmm. And Rashawn Slater missed almost the entire season with an injury. Granted, I don't feel like these things are all, you know, oh, these are injury prone guys, but you do have to worry a bit. And Braden Daniels just ever so slightly edged out John Gaines for me. If you're looking at either in terms of like fit, these guys can move. These guys can absolutely freaking move. The snatch trap from Braden Daniels on that Florida edge rusher is the fastest freaking snatch trap I've ever seen in my life. There's one particular play where he's so good. I can't remember who the edge rusher was, but it was fantastic. Anyway, Braden Daniels gives you a lot of flexibility along the line. The first game I watched him was at left tackle. Then I went back and watched him right tackle against Oregon the previous season. And I thought that was even better. This is a player who can play all over the offensive line. No one's going to like this necessarily, but the Chargers need to find themselves more depth along this interior offensive line, technically along the whole offensive line. And I think Braden Daniels checks enough boxes for you. You need someone to climb to the second level to be successful at zone. You know, Braden Daniels, I think, is fantastic for you there. So Gaines or Daniels, I don't think you can really go wrong either way, but I personally did like Daniels more. So there's Alex's version of hell is two interior.
Yeah, we got two offensive linemen. I will say, for what it's worth, for Braden Daniels, he started his career as a right guard for Utah. There are some people who believe his best position is actually going to be center. Some of that's due, I think, to his kind of light frame. He weighed 297 at the combine. Actually, I think it might have been lighter than that, but he gained 13 pounds for his pro day, so he checked that box as well. So obviously, I'm a fan of his. I do think he checks, you know, that versatility box that the Chargers really do value in terms of, you know, position flex. And so there's that too. So John Gaines, much more of an interior guy. Braden Daniels, I think, at least could play right tackle in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Probably not left, but I do think that he could play, you know, four of the five positions up front.
Yeah. I do think it's important, like what Tyler said with Corey Linsley. I do think it was notable that the Chargers decided not to restructure him while they were kind of restructuring everyone. He did have the knee tendonitis last year, is getting a little bit older. And I do think you need someone who maybe not this year, obviously, and maybe not next year either, but eventually can kind of, probably by 2024, 2025, can potentially start at center, depending on what the Chargers need and depending on how Corey's knee is by that point. So I think investing in Braden Daniels here, based on what Tyler said, is kind of the smart move. I do think that one of those positions probably gets left out of this draft, whether we're talking about interior offensive line or interior defensive line, just because of all the other kind of depth in this draft and what the Chargers might need at like wide receiver and tight end and some of these other like positions. But I do think interior offensive line is probably kind of the way to go here.
All right, Tyler. So Braden Daniels is the selections here. So in case you missed it, I am not the Utah guy advocating for the Utah guy. Somebody else did it.
Hey, I'm the USC guy advocating for the Utah guy. You know he's special.
People will mention, like, I'll talk about Dalton Kincaid, and they're like, oh, this is just you liking Utah. It's like, okay, we're still doing that? All right.
What if you're like a Georgia fan? Like, oh, you just like Jalen Carter. You go like all these
like,
guys.
Yeah, I know.
I like good players. Sue me. You know, I don't have Clark Phillips as CB1 as much as I would want to. You know,
yeah, only CB2. Come on. Trey Palmer went. That hurts.
Oh, that's too bad. All right. So Chargers picking in the sixth round. Or wait, is this the fifth round? Sixth round?
Sixth round.
Okay. So this is back to you, right, Tyler?
Oh, okay.
All right, let's speed this up. Let's speed this up. You pick whoever you want at this point because we're a minute.
Okay, I'm taking Nick Hampton. I just took Nick Hampton, the edge rusher from App State. If you want to know what the heck I think about him, go back about 15 minutes and listen. Guvino Borges has a top five edge rusher in this class. Yeah. I don't have him that high, but I do have like literally a second round grade, but borderline third. probably ends up being a third with more watch, but geez, do I think he's fantastic as a developmental guy for sure. Please go watch his UNC game if you're worried about who the heck I just selected. Again, I think they probably gave me an F for this one, but whatever. Damn. An A! I got an A!
Wow! Wow! Yay! We got a C plus for drafting an offensive lineman. We got an A for from Appalachian State. No, I think in this instance, I mean, you're talking about really revamping your pass rush at this point too. And like I talked about, Mike Morris firmly an edge rusher for me, but somebody who I think could kick inside as well. So, all right, at this point in time, I the Chargers need to get a kick returner. So
wait. Before you do that, my running back was taken. Can I talk about him? Unfortunately,
yeah, go for
yes,
it.
He
go
was.
For
this
it.
Is tragic. Scroll a little bit to your left here. I did see him go. Where did he go?
What is his name?
Muhammad Ibrahim.
Oh, yeah.
Running
from
back
okay.
out of Minnesota.
Right there with Washington. Yep.
Yeah. So this guy is the day three. He's got that dog in him. Residential pick. Okay. 2021. First of all, he was 2020's Big Ten back of the year. 2021, yeah. First game against Ohio State. This guy goes for 30 carries, 163 yards, and two touchdowns in three quarters. Is beating the number four Ohio State Buckeyes in the first game of the season. And then tragically in the third quarter, tears his Achilles and is out for the remainder of 2021. And you're thinking, what's going to happen with this guy? He's got that dog in him. He comes back in 2022 off of an Achilles tear, has 300 carries for 1,600 yards and 20 touchdowns. He is like the epitome of Isaiah Pacheco. He's going to run in your face and bowl you over. He is like he's like a 5'8 bowling ball that they just gave legs. And I know he's smaller, but man, this guy, I just watched him against Northwestern like the other day, and he, just the way that he, you know, uses his size and still can use his leverage to like bounce outside, has really good vision as a runner too. I think that if he's there, he's probably going to be there on day three, probably because of the Achilles tear a couple years ago. But man, he actually led the country in yards after contact for a running back. 1,106 yards of his 1,600 yards were after contact. The guy is impossible to bring down despite his size. And man, I just got to say, like, I go look him up on YouTube, go look him up on wherever you want to, all 22 tape. He is a blessing to watch play. And I don't know if he's going to work out to the degree that Pacheco or Herbert did. But if we're talking about a day three running back guy that I loved watching, it is Muhammad Ibrahim.
There we go. That injury history is a tad scary for me, but the film is legitimately good, like Alex is talking about. I can definitely vouch for that aspect of things. So, all right, Chargers picking here in the seventh round. As Demetrius is pointing out, the Chargers have not taken a tight end. I think, unfortunately, at this point, you're just kind of punting out of position. They have not taken a linebacker in this situation either. So I'm going to go in a different direction here. I'm going with one of the wide receivers here. I'm going to add some more speed to the room and also get an elite kick returner. And that is Mr. Trey Tucker from Cincinnati, a guy who has legitimate track speed. So, you know, I advocated for his former teammate, Tyler Scott, earlier in this process. I think Trey Tucker is not as good as a wide receiver prospect. I think he can maybe become something down the road, but you're drafting Trey Tucker for his returner ability. I think between him and Marvin Mims, you could really solve that part of the issue of special teams. Mims could be your punt returner, Trey Tucker, your kickoff returner. I think he returned four kickoffs for touchdowns in his college career. He's got legit 4.3 speed. So you're taking a dart throw on a wide receiver, checking a special teams box for Mr. Ryan Ficken. So I'm going to go with Trey Tucker from Cincinnati.
Nice. I'll throw in one more name that's way down here, but does have connections. Malik Knowles, a wide receiver from Kansas State, who I believe, if you filter correctly, is third in kickoff return yards per attempt. A bigger boundary guy that the Chargers like to develop, that's 6'2", 200 certain sort of pound frame. For what it's worth, Malik Knowles, he also, I don't know why I know this, he has an agent with two players already on the Chargers, one being Dean Leonard, the other being, we'll see, Austin Eckler. And so I just, there is a team connection there, if you will. I have no idea if the Chargers have been interested or not, but you have a player who is that bigger outside developmental guy who was very good at returning the football as a kick returner, bigger guy, connections in sort of a light way. And he had 8 rushes for 164 yards this past season as a rusher. I believe he has like, I forget what it is, but he averaged like 13 yards per rush attempt throughout college with like 36 different rushes, almost 7 yards after contact per rush. So someone that brings us something a little bit different. So that's the person I would consider.
Wait, too. don't select it yet. So Darius Davis, also another one I think we're missing in terms of returner ability. I think he's probably more of a viable slot receiver, you know, kind of your gadget player than somebody like Trey Tucker would be. But I think if you're trying to like get the offense to go more vertically, I think Trey Tucker would be a good pick there. So also really quickly, if you want to take a look at the tight end room and then the linebacker room, just so we can talk about some guys since we didn't really take any here. So not a ton of tight ends in round 7, obviously. Braden Willis, I think, would be interesting, although I think kind of repetitive with what you have. You know, he's kind of more of an H-back kind of player. For what it's worth, Alex Katzen loves Kyle Patterson from Air Force. That's kind of one of his late round draft crushes, if you will. So I have not watched him yet. I don't think I will ever watch Air Force film, you know, but Alex Katzen loves our
troops.
And then linebackers, obviously, Mohamed Diabate, Isaiah Land, I think they met with at the Senior Bowl, had like a formal interview there, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, it gets slim pickings here. I think that's why you kind of, you know, gravitate more towards special teams players.
Darius Davis strikes me as the guy that the Chiefs are going to draft, and we're going to hate him for the next like 10 years.
Yeah, fair enough. I totally see that. If we went with like a bigger player than Mims, for example, then we go to Davis, I think that would make more sense, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you can just select Trey Tucker here, and then we'll call it good.
Cool. Chat hates us. It looks like my high school report card right here.
If the chat hates us, we did our job.
Exactly. That means we picked players that no one has talked about for the most part. So that's good, at least.
Yeah, you get something good. You get something different here on the Guilty as Charged podcast. So no linebacker, no tight end. But, you know, I feel really good specifically about those first 3 picks, you know, getting instant impact players from those guys. And then Mike Morris, Braden Daniels, Nick Hampton, Trey Tucker. So, Alex, it was great to have you back on the show, man. What do you think here of the process and how it turned out?
I think it turned out pretty good. I mean, we had a decent number of kind of needs for this team. And we hit the trenches, got the defensive line, got the interior offensive line as well. I do think, interestingly, this also could be, we didn't talk about it because no one wants to talk about it. I feel like this could be the year Telesco drafts like a day 3 quarterback. And you know, he does only have Justin Herbert and Easton Stick in the room now. So it wouldn't shock me if there's like a round 6 or round 7 guy that Tom Telesco decides to take. They have liked having 3 quarterbacks historically in the QB room in the Telesco era, aside from the Rivers Geno Smith year. So wouldn't shock me if that happened. But overall, I mean, if it plays out like this, for specifically those first 3 picks, I would make us the GM of the Chargers because I think this is a really awesome draft, pairing Brian Branch and Derwin James. I love Marvin Mims in round 2, despite how much the computer probably hates it. And Tyjae Spears, if you're going to take a running back in this class to potentially replace Austin Ekeler going forward, I think that he's a great pick in the 3rd round.
Yeah, Steven actually did point out something really good here, and there's a couple things to point out. Brian Branch, I don't know if I necessarily designate him as a corner, but he's a defensive back who can play one heck of a lot in the slot. So to me, that is like a slot corner, which technically isn't premium because it's not outside, but I do kind of feel it is that way. And then Mike Morris is an edge rusher. So for what it's worth, people asking about premium positions, it wasn't necessarily a safety and a D lineman as much as it was a DB and an edge player, but I get it.
No, yeah, I think the big one people will kind of point to is the lack of tight end. I think this team can survive at linebacker without taking one. I think I would take one, right? But I think with Kendricks and the amount of nickel and dime packages that Brandon Staley likes to play, you know, I think you can talk yourself into maybe finding another version of Eamon Ogbonwamiga. Maybe Nick Niemann becomes something this year. And also, like, they signed, I think this is always, people forget this, right? They signed Kyle Van Noy, Morgan Fox, and Bryce Callahan all after the draft. So yeah, they could certainly play the board here and figure out linebacker after the draft too. So I think that is something worth pointing out too as well. But no, I'd be a fan of these first four picks. Obviously, Braden Daniels is another guy I would be very happy with. So checked a lot of boxes for the Chargers. I don't think we checked all of them, right? I would love to get a tight end earlier than we did, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, out of these, those three offensive positions, when we talk about running back, tight end, wide receiver, I think tight end is kind of the biggest pivot point, because if they don't take it in those first three picks, then like kind of goes downhill after that, like we saw in this draft with Sam Laporta, or you know, like Tucker Kraft, who might be there. I would say out of those three positions, also tight end, based on this free agency period, is kind of the one that I'm okay picking last out of those, you know, like three core offense positions. When we talk about running back, wide receiver, and tight end, obviously kind of need a running back because of the Austin Eckler situation potentially going forward, but they have three wide receivers in the room right now. So like, to me, you need definitely a day two guy at that position.
Yeah, I think double dipping at wide receiver is a must for me, especially if those guys can offer you some special teams versatility, because you know, we just don't know. Like, I'm fairly confident that Joey Bosa is going to be playing at a high level and be on this team in 2024, but like, we just don't know about the two receivers. Like, we don't know about injury history, about age. You know, this could be a drastic, you know, thing moving forward. And like, you need four guys. Like, you do need to have four quality players, and that was an issue last year. So, you know, getting Marvin Mims into that room, I think, would be a huge boost. Gives you a lot of horizontal and vertical versatility. So that's the kind of player that I think the Chargers could be leaning towards, is somebody who gives you a little bit of both there. So, all right, we went an hour and 20 minutes on our second mock draft. So let us know what you guys think. Obviously, we had some fun with the live chat today. You know, appreciated all the comments here. And then make sure you like the video, subscribe. If you're listening to this, make sure you and leave us a review or a rating. We do really appreciate that as well. So, Alex, it was great having you back on the show, man. We hope you have a great rest of draft season. I know you got finals coming up probably soon here as well. So we wish you well. And then Tyler and I will be back later this week to talk about my favorite position group in the draft class, which is linebackers. It's going to be so much fun. lots of facetiousness there for sure. But yeah, that's going to do it for us. We'll see you guys on Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in.